A very good morning to you. So glad to see you here this morning worshiping the Lord. Now last week in the afternoon service, we talked about Paul coming to the city of Athens. And we said that Athens was a modern and famous city in Paul's time. It was the city of arts and the education. And here Paul met two groups of people. They are philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics. They hold opposite views on life and death. Now when confronted by them, Paul did not spend time to debate with them on the different philosophies. The Bible tells us that Paul preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And this is recorded for us in Acts 17 and verse 18. And I said last week that we should not be intimidated by people of high position and education when it comes to the preaching of the gospel. But let me explain this. We respect them, but their position should not deter us from preaching the gospel to them. Now, while Paul was walking around the city of Athens, he came to a place called Mars Hill. And then he saw an altar with this inscription, "To the unknown gods." Now we see the people in Athens will go to their extreme, all right, worshipping many gods. And then just in case they missed out one, they'll put an inscription there, "To the unknown gods." Now what did Paul preach to them? And I said last week, three things. First of all, he preached God the Creator. And this is important. People who do not believe in God, people who do not know the true and the living God, need to know that He is the Creator. Secondly, he told them that we are responsible to this true and the living God. And what is our responsibility? It is to repent from our sin. Then lastly, Paul told them that there is a day of judgment, a day of reckoning, where God will judge all men in righteousness. So that was the message that Paul gave to the people in Mars Hill. Right? And then we come to chapter 18, which the chairman read with us this morning. We are told that Paul left Athens and came to Corinth. Now he traveled some 50 miles to come to this place. Right? And in Corinth, he had some experiences that are similar to other cities that visited. He also had some new experiences. Now I'm going to very simply outline this chapter into four parts. And first of all, we want to see that God sent persecution for the furtherance of the gospel. Now I've mentioned this several times in the study of the book of Acts. And I say that the New Testament church is founded through persecution. Then secondly, we want to see that God sends people to co-labor with Paul. Then thirdly, we want to see that God saves those who once opposed the gospel. And then finally, we see that God speaks word of encouragement to the Apostle Paul. And in all these things, we see that God is doing the same today for us who are serving Him. God wants us to know that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? As much as He had encourage Paul in his ministry, he wants to encourage us too in our service for him. Now, first of all, we want to see that God sent persecution for the furtherance of the gospel. Right? From the very start, in the founding of the New Testament church, we see that the early believers went through very severe persecution. And then when the apostles brought the gospel to all Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world, they faced persecution. Now, did persecution hinder the spread of the gospel? The answer is no. Now, we have to go back to the very time when they put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, when the religious leaders crucified our Savior. They were probably taught, this is the end to the person and his teaching. At that time, his teaching is known as the way. And so that idea of teaching the way endured in the New Testament. So likewise, those who opposed the preaching of the gospel by Paul, by Peter, they said that this man preached the way. Now, the religious leader would have thought that's the end of the gospel. That's the end of Jesus Christ. No, nobody is going to mention about him anymore. Now, they were wrong. We see from the scripture, we see from history, that when there is persecution, the gospel spread even further. And that is how God used such a means to further His word and the gospel. Now, in the 18th century, we have a French philosopher, Voltaire. Now, Voltaire says that 100 years after his death, the Bible will be in a museum. Several centuries has passed. We see that the Bible is not only in the hands of many people. We realize also today that the Bible is the longest surviving book, and the Bible is the most printed book. Now we are talking about the Word of God. I'm bringing out this statistic just to tell us what Voltaire says. Right, he said it in his pride. He said it because he did not believe in God. Will God be hindered by a man like him? No. Right? We are still preaching the Bible today. Many people hold the Bible as the Word of God. So persecution furthers the gospel ministry. Now we come to Paul. In Corinth, we see that Paul once again was opposed by the unbelieving Jews. I said last week that these people have been following Paul, right, from one city to another city. And I said last week that they are out to get a pound of his flesh. The phrase is said, you know, in one of the plays by Shakespeare, The Merchant of Venice. Right? They're out to get him. Right? But we see that God preserved Paul, right, in all these incidents. Now I'm sure God is still in control. Are we afraid if there's opposition, persecution? There are people who oppose us in believing in Christ. Now, I think we should take encouragement that God is in control. Right? He will always preserve us. God will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. But in every temptation, that He will open a way of escape for us. Now, Acts chapter 18 started with Paul coming into Corinth and then found a couple by the name of Aquila and Priscilla. And we are told that they were tent makers. Now remember, Paul was also a tent maker. Alright, he did tent making to support himself. And then coming to the city, finding this couple having the same trait as he is, he must be greatly encouraged. Now the question we want to ask is this: where did Paul learn the trade of tent making? Okay. Now, in every Jewish family, boys are taught a trade. And the purpose is that they will use this skill to earn a living. So Paul would probably have learned it from his father or someone, all right, in his family. Okay, most likely the father. And so Paul used that skill to earn a living for himself. Okay, he's a tent maker. All right, while he is the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the preacher of the gospel, he did not want to burden the church, so he did tent making. And he found this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And we know that this couple later on became his co-workers in the ministry. Right? Such a wonderful thing, isn't it? To get to know people and then to co-work with them in the gospel ministry. Alright, so dear brethren, we are not on our own. We are not the only Christians in this world. There are many Christians. There are many out there who are serving God. So we should continue to serve God. Be encouraged, strengthened to serve Him. Right? It says our number is small. But then there are also other churches that number is so small. What we need to know is this, that God does not look at number. God looks at our heart, our willingness. I hope each one of us is willing to do our part for the gospel ministry. Okay. So the Jews opposed Paul. And then they brought him to a man called Gallio. Now who is Gallio? Gallio is a Roman senator. Alright, you know that we have these Roman leaders placed in every major city. So here we have Gallio, who is in charge of the city of Corinth. Alright, now when the Jews brought Paul to Gallio, they brought charges against him. They say this man preached the way. This man told people to worship somebody else, right, different from our worship. We read from the text, the Gallio was not interested in what you say, you know, who you worship. Right? He said to them, if you come to me and it is not a matter about crime, right and wrong, then I'm not going to hear you. Okay? If you are coming here to tell me that this is what he believed and this is what you believe, I'm not interested. Very interestingly, the Jews brought Paul to the wrong person for judgment. Alright? And the Bible tells us that he threw them out. Alright? Of the judgment hall. That is found in verse 12 onward, alright? And verse 16 tells us that he drove them from the judgment seat. Okay. And then in verse 17, we are told that all the Greeks took Sotenis, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. Alright. We see that the Greeks and the Jews were not in talking term. So they took this opportunity, right, took the ruler of the synagogue, Sotenis, and beat him up. Okay. And I'm talking about the Greek beating the Jews. Huh? And then Gallio, who is a Roman, he did not interfere. So we see in this incident how God preserved his servant. Right? God has his way, you know. God's ways are always higher than our ways. Okay. So we should always place ourselves in his hand, God's hand, having God to lead us in our life. So God sent persecution for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, secondly, we want to see that God sent co-laborers for Paul. Now, we feel the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul. His heartbeat is for the gospel to spread far and wide. But we also realize that Paul is a man of like passion as we are. Man. Alright? He is subjected to trials, discouragement. He needed people to come and help him. And we see that in various places, God raised up people to encourage him. Okay, and in this instance, we have the couple, Aquila and Priscilla. All right, in the book of Romans, Paul mentioned their names. Paul says that they have been very helpful in that they opened their house for the gospel ministry. So we see that this couple has been a great help to the Apostle Paul in the ministry and also in helping him in the trade. Okay, as Bible commentators would say that they helped Paul in the trade in that Paul needed some money to continue in his gospel ministry. And probably Aquila and Priscilla had a tent-making company, in a sense. Huh? And so Paul worked there, make tent and earn some money. Okay, I believe it is so. So I want you to see that God used various means to encourage him. And then we are also told in verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was present in the spirit. Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Now we know that earlier on, Paul left Silas and Timotheus somewhere, and now they have come to join Paul in Corinth. Alright? And then, when they came, Paul was pressed in the spirit. Okay. Now, we may view the word pressed there in the spirit that he is burdened to preach the gospel. We may also see from the word there that Paul was greatly encouraged in the spirit. Alright. That now he has Aquila, Priscilla, Silas and Timothy coming to help him in the gospel ministry. So we want to see that God always sends people to come and encourage us. You know, it's interesting. He has his own means of encouragement, but he does send men to encourage us. Okay? Those of us who have been in the ministry, we realize that God has sent good men to come and work with us. And we are greatly encouraged. God has sent good people in the church to encourage us. And I hope that we are an encouragement to whoever who will be coming to pastor this church. And I hope that he will also be an encouragement to you. With that mutual encouragement, we can be more effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see God sent co-laborers for the Apostle Paul. Thirdly, we want to see that God saved those who once opposed the gospel. All right. Now, if you look at verse 8, or we start from verse 7, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house is joined hard to the synagogue. Okay, so Justus was probably one of the worshippers in the synagogue. And then verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now, if you look at these two verses, we see a few things. One, there were Jews who were from the synagogue. And we know that many of these Jews from the synagogue opposed Paul. And so, I believe the writer of the book of Acts, Luke, intentionally tells us that Justus, Crispus, believed in the Lord. That is, they once opposed the gospel, but God had not forsaken them. Now God saved them and added them into the church. Now this is a great encouragement. You know, we think that there are people who oppose the gospel and they will never be saved. Now we are wrong. Okay, we have seen many who oppose the gospel very strongly, but somehow the Lord works in their heart. And where they are smitten by the Lord, they humble themselves. They come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in my ministry, I've seen so many of such people. I've mentioned once that I was trying to reach an atheist. Very hardened. I thought he would not have put his trust in the Lord. But God worked in such amazing way. God sent him to Israel to work. You know, he was supposed to go there and learn a skill to bring him back to Singapore. And there, he found the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was saved. Today, he's serving the church as a deacon, a very active member. So I want to tell you, be encouraged, because God is powerful. Now, we read earlier on in the verse where the Jews beat up a man called Sotenes in verse 17. Okay, and then we are told that Gallio care not for none of these things. He doesn't care. Okay, you want to beat him, go ahead. Alright, now we don't exactly know who Sotenes is, but Paul mentioned his name in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 11. Okay, and many Bible commentators believed that it is the same Sotenes mentioned in Acts 18 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul thank him in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In other words, if it is the same Sotenes as Acts 18, we see again a ruler of the synagogue believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, amazing. Okay. So God saves those who once opposed the gospel. So let us be encouraged, you know, when we try to reach to someone whom we deem very hardened, Okay. Now, we should never have this attitude that God cannot save him. Okay. No. God is almighty. Alright. God would use his way to save such a man. Lastly, I want you to see that God sends or speaks words of encouragement to the Apostle Paul. And that's what God does for us. You know, He wants to encourage us, giving us his promises that we can trust in him and continue to do his will. Verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much or many people in this city. And then in verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Right. Paul spent a year and a half in Corinth. And we see that this is the result of the encouragement that God gave to the Apostle Paul. And what did he say? What did the Lord say? He says, be not afraid. I am with thee. No man shall hurt you. And I want to say that this is also the promise that God gives to his people. You know, I quoted 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 earlier on. There's no temptation that shall overtake you, but in every temptation he will provide a way of escape. God watches over us. God knows how much we are able to bear. The question is, are we willing, for the gospel's sake, to serve him? Are we brave enough to be a witness of the name, that beautiful name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we afraid to testify Christ? I hope we are not. Be it in our family, in our place of work, and in the midst of our friends. Let us be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see these are some of the experiences that Paul had in the city of Corinth. Now this afternoon we are going to look at Paul's ministry in Ephesus, recorded for us in chapter 19. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for encouraging us through the experiences of the Apostle Paul. I pray that you will raise up your people here, that we will be courageous in declaring the gospel and the truth. Help us, we pray, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.